This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bills and Dolphins Sunday. We're here at the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. Autograph guests about to start to appear. Joe Andreessen first up at 6. Tickets are $10. The autograph, that's for the show. The autograph prices are separate. You can find the details at legendsandstars.net. We go 4:30 with guest to 8:30 tonight, and then 10 to 5 tomorrow. Again, $10 gets in, 12 and under free. And, I mean, pretty good lineup tomorrow, including Eric Wood.
Eric's going to be here tomorrow?
Eric will be here tomorrow.
That's fantastic.
At least it says he is.
I believe it.
Hopefully he knows. Joining us now on the Western Hotline, Buffalo Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. Kevin, nice to talk to you again. I mean, the season isn't brand new anymore, but we're glad that we're going to have these semi-regular chats, and we appreciate your time in doing that with us.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Okay. So 10 games in, and I want to just get your, to start here, general observations. And I have a couple of friends who think they're sympathetic to the Sabres for having had to start the season in Prague. I don't think it's specific to Prague. I think it's more just that it was in Europe.
Yeah.
And you were there for so long. And I don't know, anecdotally that makes sense. I wonder if you think a slow start, it might be fair, or if you would just be somebody to kind of attribute the way the season started to that.
You know, it's funny. When you lose, yes, if we would have won, I would have said it was great. You know, I honestly, it was a little confusing for me because I loved our training camp. I thought our practices in Europe were excellent. They were intense. They were high-paced. The guys had great energy. And then for whatever reason, the two games, we looked sluggish. We looked slow, out of sorts. So I don't know. I mean, I think it was a great trip from an experience and the guys getting together and having time together and go to dinner and see a lot of different things that they probably wouldn't usually be able to do, obviously. So let's hope that that pays off down the road. But obviously going 0-2 in Europe wasn't the start we wanted. And that, you know, we had to turn the page quick. You know, you came back, and I thought our game, our home opener against L.A. was excellent. I mean, we found a way to lose that game with taking a couple late penalties, but we, in my mind, dominated the game. So, you know, you're sitting at 0-3, and, you know, you can have a little bit of woe is me, or you can dig in and work and raise the standard from there. You know, I think we've gone 4-2-1 since that start. So a little uneven. I think there's a lot to like, and there's some parts of our game that we don't like and we have to clean up.
Yeah, I would agree that since you came home, even that L.A. game, I think you certainly deserved better. I even liked, it's hard to say, like, you liked your team's game in a 5-2 loss, but there was a lot in the Florida game that I thought was good. I mean, the mistakes were glaring that cost a couple of first period goals against. But I thought overall, like, when you're in a game with Florida and they just don't have you hemmed in and there's not a lot of scoring chances, I feel like that's a win, like, to start the game anyway. I know eventually you got to find your way to some goals. But, and that felt like a game to me. Watching in the third period when it was still 3-2, I really, like, I always want you guys to score and I always want you guys to win. I felt like your team deserved another goal. I really wanted another goal. I wanted to tie it up, and then, of course, it kind of got sideways at the end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at when we scored the second goal, I think it was Owen Power had a chance pretty shortly after that where we almost went up 3-2. And, you know, I didn't think we had our A game, to be honest, against Florida. But at the same point, I thought we did a pretty good job of not giving them a lot. You know, they didn't get a lot of grade A scoring chances. But that's a team that when you make a mistake, they make you pay. And, you know, once we got down a couple, then we had to open it up a little more, and that's where they got even a little bit more chance. So, you know, I agree with you, Bulldog. Like, there were some good things within that game, but it also wasn't good enough. And what I liked was our response the next day in practice, you know, extremely, you know, just a good hard work day, because our standard has to be higher than it's ever been. And that's been the message from day one here.
I'm glad you used that phrasing, A game. I've heard Alex talk about it this year a couple of different times, and maybe some other people as well. You know, you got to learn how to you know, flourish with a B game, like win a B game, get a B game to overtime even. And like, I wonder if like what kind of learning process through your career as a player and into coaching and management now. Like, is that a process guys have to learn how to win with a B game, or at least get a game to overtime? Because I feel like when this team, going back even, you know, 2 years now or more, when they're on, like, they're dancing. I mean, it's just like, you know, tape to tape and highlight reel stuff, and it's really good. And you're not going to be at that level every night. Your opponent isn't going to allow you to be at that level every night, even if you are capable of reaching that level every night. How important is it to find, like, an alternate game that is good enough to get points?
I think it's the difference between the good and the great teams, and a team that's on the bubble of making the playoffs and playoff teams. I mean, here's the reality in my mind, that just because you don't have your A game doesn't mean you can't win. You have to find ways within the structure of your game to be smart. And I think what you learn, I mean, you alluded to it a little bit there, as you gain experience in this league as a player, you learn that you're not going to have your best 82 games. You're just not. Like, you're not going to feel great. Your legs aren't going to feel great at times. But you have to then be smart enough to manage the game within that. So what that means is maybe don't extend your shifts. Maybe don't try to force that, you know, play that. Maybe just put it behind the defenseman and live to fight another day. You know, those type of things. Because I think this year when I really honestly evaluate our team, there's a lot of good things we're doing within games, but the big mistakes we've made have banded up in the back of our net, and you got to clean that stuff up. So that's us to learn and mature. But the reality is you're not going to be at your best every night, but the best teams still find ways, like you said, either getting it to overtime and you just scratch and claw and you get a point out of a game you don't deserve, or some nights you just flat out win games you don't deserve. And you have to find ways to do that through the course of a long season.
With Kevin Adams, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog in Batavia today for the Legends and Stars memorabilia show, which is underway. Again, thinking to ask you this, Kevin, with the perspective of the first 10 games under your belt, Lindy Ruff, I mean, so much excitement and nostalgia around his return this summer. You spoke many times on why you thought he was the choice. I don't know, any surprises or a couple of maybe things that you weren't expecting, if there are any, from watching him work sort of every day?
No, you know, I have a lot of respect for Lindy, and like, as you guys know, and what I explained after, you know, we hired and brought Lindy in, and just, you know, why I believe he's the right coach for this team. I've talked a lot about that, but I can give you a couple maybe examples of things that have jumped out to me of why he's such a good coach and has such a good feel. The first one would be, you know, after the Columbus game, it was not a good game, and we you know, I felt.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, we gave a point away in Pittsburgh. They scored late. You lose in overtime. You're a little bit stung by that. You go into Columbus. Now you lose that game, and it's a little, you know, everybody's a little down. And I think as a player, you go the next morning into the meeting thinking, here we go. The coach is going to yell. He's going to show all this stuff. And Lindy was very positive in terms of what we can do and why we can clean certain things up that will turn into us being successful. And I do think it flipped the, you know, the demeanor of our team. He talked about, get outside. It was a nice day in Chicago. Get a little fresh air, feel the sun. And then we won the next three games in a row. So I think it's just having a little bit of the feel and experience he does. And, you know, the second one I would tell you is just within the game, him, you know, whether it's just subtle tweaks systematically or reacting to what the other team's doing that gives us a chance to be successful. And, you know, I knew how good of a tactical coach Lindy is just from my experience with him, but I think it's even better now than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Thank you. That first point, isn't that a Scotty Bowman trick? Lindy played for Bowman, and how he would always have the players not know just kind of what they were in for the next day.
Blast them after a win, love them up after a loss, that kind of thing.
Well, I agree, and there's an absolute – the art of coaching is the feel of knowing when to push, when the guys need to be, you know, a hard practice like after the Florida game versus maybe a hug and a little love after the Columbus game. You know, that's just how I think the best coaches that I've been around in my career – have a knack for doing that, and I just think that, you know, Lindy's been spot on there, and the guys respect and believe what he's talking about and the rest of the coaches are talking about every day, which I think goes a long way. And, you know, now we have to do it. We have to turn the excitement in the locker room and the belief into points, and now this is a big stretch of hockey right in front of us here.
And your coach is making a move tonight to try to jumpstart an important player who's been struggling here, Dylan Cousins, still with no goals on the year, Kevin. The move to the wing, is that an organizational decision, or is that just Lindy trying something and, like, if he gets going, we'll bump him back to center soon?
Well, I mean, I think it's, we do things collaborative for sure. You know, I'll sit in typically every morning in early with the coaches and just understand kind of whatever the day is and what we're working on and why. We'll have conversations on roster lines. I mean, coaches coach, and I make sure that I give input or I bring up things that I think are important, but they're the ones on the bench and have to make these decisions. But, you know, I think this is another example of just some experience probably that Lindy brings to the table. And this is sometimes – you know, you need to get guys out of their own head a little bit and just change it up. Dylan is obviously, for me, he's at his best when he's a power forward. He's getting it in the forecheck. He's hounding pucks. He's using his speed. He's taking the puck to the net. Sometimes a wing, you get a little better opportunity to do that just because you're not quite as, defensively, you're not, quite as responsible is maybe the wrong way to say it, but you guys know what I mean. You just freed up a little bit. And I also think just when I look at our forward group right now, I see Dylan Cousins long term as a really, really good centerman for us, but you want to have versatility. I've really liked the first line, third line, fourth line for the most part this year. We've struggled with that second line. So, I think after 10 games, this is probably the time to try to, mix it up and see if we can spark the guys. And, Dylan in particular, I think he's got 30 shots on net in 10 games. Right. I mean, it honestly wouldn't shock me, wouldn't have shocked me if we were having this conversation and he would have 5 goals right now. You know, he's just been around the net. The puck just hasn't gone in. And if you get off to a start and you have 5 goals in 10 games, and then maybe in the middle of the season you go 10 games without a goal, it doesn't feel as bad. But, it's tough when it's right off the get-go. And he puts a lot of pressure on himself. So he's an important player, and we need him to get going for sure.
Kevin, quickly, Jack Quinn – maybe a different explanation, but I've heard a lot of people wondering about his skating, maybe his physical status here. Do you have any thoughts on whether that might have merit?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jack is this is the best way to say it. It is tough when you miss a lot of time. The game, I always explain it to people, is the game moves really fast, right? And until you get yourself, your feet under you, and the game starts to slow down, everything's going to look off. Your hands, your feet, your head, everything looks a little bit off right now. So Jack's feeling that. I have no doubt that Jack Quinn's going to get back to the Jack Quinn that we know and believe in, and he's a critical guy for us. I just think I would start for him by just, come to the rink and put a smile on your face and go to work. And just once he gets enough reps under his belt back, get the pace that he needs to play at, he'll be fine.
We're going to wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to ask you about Devin Levi, who's getting the net tonight. It's been a couple of weeks since he got a start. Maybe that Columbus game was the last one, I think, that you referenced a couple of times in our conversation already. How do you feel like that's going? Is he still – because he's still young enough and new enough that I think it's fair to wonder if he needs to be playing more than the opportunity is presenting itself so far.
Yeah, I think some of it has been just our schedule. You know, we haven't played as many games in a tight window as typically you see, but it's going to pick up here starting our November 1st. You look at our schedule, it's a little heavier. I mean, we've had 2 weeks in a row of a couple games in a week, which is rare in the NHL. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that's part of it. You know, we did win the 3 games in a row and weren't playing back-to-back. So, you know, you're kind of in Lindy's, you know, mind kind of going with the guy you feel is maybe hot right now. So we have no concern on, you know, will he get enough games or won't. But there's, of course, always something you monitor and you're going to we'll talk about. But we have a lot of belief in Devin and excited to see him get going tonight again.
10 games played in October, 14 in November, back-to-back here this weekend at Detroit tomorrow. And, of course, home tonight to the Islanders. Kevin, thanks for your time today. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You too. Sabres GM Kevin Adams, 6 o'clock pregame from KeyBank Center. Paul Hamilton will join us then as fans start to congregate near us for autographs here at the Legends and Stars show. Possible that Paul, I don't know the music for tonight.
Paul and I talked about this
the
today.
The noise here could be on par with there.
We talked about this. I talked to Paul on the phone while I was driving out here, and I said, well, I look forward to us having, like, dueling challenges here. Maybe we won't be able to hear you either, or you won't be able to hear us or whatever. It's just, you know, because the band is always so loud, but it's a little raucous in here.
It'll get going more so in a few minutes.
Yep.
Okay, timeout first. If you missed anything this morning, Sean McDermott, Kevin Adams there, Sammy P, whoever you want to hear, Joe, Sneaky Joe, maybe you missed Sneaky Joe, check it all out at the Audacy app, AUDACY, or at WGR550.com. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here from Batavia Downs. This is WGR.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.